Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Josh Donaldson stands in. Josh singled his first time, and he drives this ball deep toward right center field. That ball's going to carry. That ball is gone. A line drive homer off the bat of Josh Donaldson.
All right, Josh Donaldson is certainly heating up, and so are the Atlanta Braves. Welcome to a Monday morning where we recap a wild weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies. Ups and downs and all over the place, and then 15-1, and that pounding they put on Philadelphia yesterday. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. All right, let's get it going. Braves 2.5 up as they get ready to host the New York Mets tonight. Final three-game set of this 10-game homestand, which has gone pretty darn well. 6-1 so far. Should be 7-0. But thank God. Hey, Hugh, how you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, it was a great weekend, man. I mean, you know that. To win in the fashion that they won the last couple of games, John, it's pretty exciting. You know, it's starting to get warm. Starting like the Braves are starting to round into shape a little bit. Still got to get that pitching fixed, though. Like we talked about this weekend, still got to get that pitching fixed.
The first thing I said when I walked in the door to you and Abe this morning was that thank God yesterday was 15-1, because if it wouldn't have been, I would have been stuck on Saturday night.
I wouldn't have felt like hearing that whining this morning. But, yeah, probably would have been whining a little bit. I totally agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
I did something Saturday night I don't normally do.
What's that, you drank?
I did an anger tweet.
You tweeted out angrily?
Yes. I don't usually tweet angrily.
Seriously?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've seen some of them tweets that fly. I knew you and Abe were tweet buddies the other night, though. Y'all were getting y'all tweet on. Was it yesterday or the other day? Y'all was tweeting a lot. And y'all, it was like y'all had a little Twitter fest. Well, not tweet fest, but text fest. Y'all was texting. Yeah, y'all were texting. And I just kind of read the text and a little popcorn and just watched to see y'all go through y'all little motions like y'all do.
Well, I was a little upset at what happened Saturday night.
Y'all get emotional. It's like real. It's like an emotional thing when you guys get the text like that. It's kind of weird. It's really weird.
Well, you know, it's funny because we had such a great high on Friday night with the incredible comeback in Brian McCann, and then that was 180 degrees the other way with another Luke Jackson special on Saturday night. How you we're 2.5 games up. If we had a legitimate closer, we'd be 7 games up. We're not. And this team has got to find a closer now.
And I think that's on their agenda. But, again, I can't stress enough, John, that it has to be something that fits for them. Because when you look at the win that they had this weekend, it's bigger than just, you know, beating the Phillies. This is the way that they've done it, the model that they followed, that I'm pretty sure people in power, people that are making decisions when it comes to money feel really good about. Because you look at the payrolls, and I know it's only a small sampling size because you still have a lot more that you're going to have to factor into these equations before it actually plays out. But look at the way that it shook out. You look at the roster of the Phillies, and you look at the roster of the Braves, and you know you can say, well, they spent a lot of money, and the results favored the Atlanta Braves mm-hmm. right now,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that I guarantee you. People that are sitting in there in power are beating their chest about, you know, because it's the thing, you know, it's called more bang for your buck.
Right.
It's like when you're trying to get horsepower out of your vehicle, you're going to go with the one that puts you in the best position to get the most horsepower without spending the most money.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing. So that's what they're looking at in small sampling size. So it looks really good. And on the flip side, I could tell you, looking at some of my Twitter feeds and everything and knowing some people up there in Philadelphia, they're not too happy about the way that played out yesterday.
I'm sure they're not. And you know what? Too bad.
Basically.
Yeah, I don't really care.
I just don't, you know, come at them like that. You know, every now and then I got to go back up there. So,
I understand you do. Yeah. I get that.
Every now and then I got to, you know, show my face.
Yeah, right. So I mean,
I keep all that other energy to myself, you know.
I know. I feel you. I got you. But, you know, when you're making car analogies, when the radiator's busted, the battery don't work, and you got three flat tires, time to get a new car.
Well, yeah, you know, and sometimes when you got – okay, wait a minute. Before I jump off into this analogy that you're making, what are you talking about? Which radiator's busted? You're talking about for us?
Luke Jackson.
Well, I don't look at that as being a busted radiator. I think that's something that I don't know what analogy I could use for that, but it's not a busted radiator. It's not that bad. It's something that you definitely need to fix. You're still able to get some pretty good horsepower, but you could fix it and get even more out of it. No, you know what it is? The air filter. You got some bad air filters. It's not flowing like it needs to flow. So, yeah, maybe that's what it is. But, yeah, that the other night, that's the glaring problem that we have.
You know, there's a soundbite on our sheet this morning that I did not hear before the show, and it's from the after the Saturday game where Luke Bloomsave Jackson did his thing. This is Brian Snicker talking about that.
I mean, just, well, he kind of his own worst enemy there because you don't know what might happen. He gets it out. And but, you know, it's just life of a closer or a guy pitching in the ninth inning. I mean, it's you know, you got to have a short memory, that's for sure.
Wait. The manager said, life of a closer, caught himself and said, no, the guy just pitching in the ninth inning. Yeah.
He's trying to be nice, man, because he knows that there has to be something done there. And you don't want to kill the guy's confidence totally. And then you saw the other night where he was able to work his way out of a little tight spot and able to get the win. So, you know, to some point, he's speaking the truth, John. You got to have a short memory, but, man. You know, when you have an opportunity to put a little bit more distance between you and the Phillies, you got to be able to take care. You got to be able to take advantage of that situation.
Morning show with John and Hugh. We'll get more into the Braves, and of course, you can always be part of the show 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, same number 404-741-0929. Our Twitter's up and running this morning at 929 The Game, and of course, our website 929TheGame.com, Facebook, Instagram. A lot of ways to be part of the morning show with John and Hugh as we break down a Braves weekend. Again, Mets tonight. We'll get more into the Braves in just a couple of minutes, but we want to throw a few more headlines at you. The U.S. Open ended late last night. Gary Woodland, boy, that was weird. I mean, it's 10 o'clock at night, and we're watching golf, and Gary Woodland, I found myself rooting for Gary Woodland. I don't normally root for guys that I don't know much about, but you know, here's this guy who's been, you know, toiling around on the PGA Tour for a long time in this incredibly, you know, high-pressure situation, and you know, he just came through. He was just very calm, made two remarkable shots, 17 and 18, and held off Brooks Koepka. So congratulations to Gary Woodland for that U.S. Open Championship. Maybe the only thing he ever does in his career, but, boy, what a time to do it.
Yeah, but if from my understanding, like, when you win tournaments like that, in golf, like, you get checks for, like, ever, don't you? You get taken care of for quite a long time.
I don't. How much did he win? $1.5 million or something? Well, I'll tell you that you also get bonuses from your, you know, all your sponsors. You know, it's in your contract. He probably got, you know, another $100,000 or so in bonuses. So, no, he made a lot of money, and no question about that. But for whatever reason, and I don't get this, Hugh, we can talk about this a little bit later in the show. I don't understand why I'm rooting against Brooks Koepka. I'm rooting
because you feel
him.
Like he's boring. Most people feel like he's a boring dude, and you know he's not as exciting. He's like the anti Tiger, in a sense that everybody kind of feels like he's just kind of like bleh, bleh,
yeah,
bleh.
I haven't seen a guy dominate golf who has just not endeared himself. Maybe I'm overstating it.
Yeah, well,
you got
but it's all about the likability factor when you think about some of these people that are successful. As far as in society is concerned. It's about how popular you are. And he's not. He's a guy. He goes out there and does his job. He tries to be popular, but it doesn't feel like a lot of people are receptive to the way that he's going about doing it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the trade.
All right.
Yeah. Now there was a little trade in the NBA over
small
the weekend.
Trade. It blew my timeline up.
Do you see the meme of well, there were two or three memes. I'm trying to think of which one to talk about first.
Spin it out. Which one are you talking about?
Let's try LeVar. That was the first meme I saw.
Oh, going to Louisiana?
Yeah, he was standing up against a wall when somebody told him that Lonzo just got traded to New Orleans, and his reaction was like,
but you know what? You think about it, though. The Pelicans seem a little bit more interesting now since you've made that trade along with Zion Williamson coming there. That's a pretty young and up-and-coming team. That should be a pretty exciting place to play.
Oh, you would think, yeah, I get that.
I mean, it's a win-win.
It's not the stage of Los Angeles.
It's not. But Louisiana, I think Louisiana's nice. I know a lot of people would beg to differ because of the team that's in Louisiana. But I think it's nice.
Yeah, well, you get past the smell, you're okay.
I mean, you know, it's only like, it all depends on which way you're walking and the way the wind is blowing. I mean, it's funny. When I was there, I knew exactly what you were talking about. It caught whiff of it a couple times.
The place does have
it's
a
still
certain,
a nice place,
certain
though.
Spell to it.
I mean, it's still a nice place. I still think Louisiana's nice, though.
The Lakers give up Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, three first-round picks.
That sounds about like what they wanted to do before, and they got what they wanted. This was a situation for me that would – this is how I feel about it. Lakers had to do something to save face. Mm. They've been getting a lot of bad press couple of weeks. A lot of bad press. And they look like a clown show.
Ever since
this makes Anthony Davis and LeBron there, that makes them more attractive in free agency. No question about it. And I even saw a meme where they thinking that maybe they can get Kyrie to come there. You get those three cats to come there, the Lakers are right back where they were.
Mm-hmm.
They're right back. You could almost pencil them in. Be a playoff contender.
Oh, Vegas thinks they're the favorites now.
I don't know about that. It all depends on what Kawhi is going to do. Now, if Kawhi came there, good googly moogly, they would definitely be the hands. They would have to be the hands down favorite.
If Vegas has made the Lakers the favorites to win the NBA title next year,
that's to get the people to move the money, man.
Well, you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good start.
Yes, it is, and potentially, you know, people saying Kyrie might go there. Yeah, that, and then you know you look at Golden State. They're on rehab. They're in the rehab situation. So yeah,
right. Without KD and Clay for probably
it's up in it's
most,
up in the air.
If not all of
and if
year.
Kyrie leaves Toronto, yeah, it's up in the air. It's definitely going to be up in the air.
Yeah, it is really wild. We'll get certainly into this trade and more reaction to the trade and what it means. And New Orleans has picks numbers 1 and 4 right now. That's not bad.
Oh yeah, they're gonna get some fire, or they might trade that fourth pick. You never know.
Which is where the Hawks kind of come into all of this,
dun,
too.
Dun, dun.
All right, so we'll be talking about all this and all that speculation with that throughout the program today. It is a Monday from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are reacting to the Braves winning 6 of 7 so far in this homestand with the Mets coming into town. Should be 7 of 7, but that's another story. They do have a 2.5-game lead. What do you think of the Braves? As we talk about, we'll update you on, by the way, the pitching status of Dallas Keuchel and Sean Newcomb as well. When we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, after a CBS Sports Minute and a Boomer Esiason.
And he pushes the butt. Ozzie streaking, glove flip to the plate, way late. Only one play, it's the first. It is an RBI and a bunt. 6-0, well done.
That was an RBI bump by Mike Fulton-Nevich. He drove in as many runs as he allowed in this game yesterday. A 15-1 rout of the Philadelphia Phillies as the Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies and open up a 2.5-game lead. You can always be part of the program at 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, same phone number. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this Monday. Braves will host the Mets tonight with Mike Soroka on the mound against Zach Wheeler this evening. A lot of news to get into with the Atlanta Braves, including the very latest on pitchers. Over the weekend, Dallas Keuchel pitched on Saturday night for the Mississippi Braves. Didn't pitch great, by all accounts. Gave up 3 runs and 11 hits in 6 innings. But still, we are waiting here to see when they will call him up, and Dallas Keuchel will become part of the rotation, and that'll happen sometime this week.
Over 6 innings, John? I kind of like that. I like the fact that it's six innings. And that's the thing. You know, we all know that it's going to take Dallas Keuchel a little bit of time to, you know, get acclimated to major league hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing that he could do for us right now is eat up some of those innings. And six innings, to me, that's promising. You know, because that just lets you know that he's going to be a guy that if he gives you anything when he initially comes up, it's going to be that innings eating that you're going to definitely need off the top.
You know, Fulton Evans had a few too many walks yesterday, but, you know, because he was all over the map. I mean, he's throwing it to the backstop. He's bouncing it in front of the plate.
Yeah, but he hit 99 a couple times.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it was an interesting day.
That's the thing that I looked at, John. It's like, okay, seems like he's starting to get a little bit more comfortable. You know, he just has to, you know, get that control issue taken care of. But early on, we all thought that something was wrong with him because he wasn't throwing that hard. He wasn't throwing that fast. So now his speed's starting to come back up. Now he just got to get that control back. And that's why I think that's one of the main reasons why they kind of hung on to it and believed in him as much as they did. That's why I always felt between him and who else were we talking about? That between
Gausman,
that I felt that he had a little bit longer rope than Gausman did. And yesterday you started to see glimpse of him, hopefully, starting to work his way out of
it. Yeah, we started the year, you know, was a time last year where Fulton Evans was, you know, you're really your number one guy. I mean, he's always had a live arm, that's for sure. And just to kind of corralling that live arm is going to be important. And also at one point last year, Sean Newcomb was your number one guy, and then he got a spot start and looked, and he looked really good on Saturday, and then he took that line drive off the head, and we all held our breath.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is the Braves are saying that Newcomb is sore and that he's bruised, and that's it. Boy, that's really fortunate. It made me wonder again if, you know, when's the first pitcher going to wear, you know, some kind of a hard hat out there rather than a, you know, regular baseball hat?
Yeah, I mean, you know, having that scary moment like that, John, that's something that conversation is definitely going to come back up, especially when you're talking about a guy who, you know, had the spot start, but we really need him in that bullpen. We need him in that bullpen rotation. And we can't right now, we're still trying to figure out our pitching staff. We can't afford to lose one of those. We can't afford to lose a pitcher right now.
Yeah, the bullpen issue is still front and center.
Yeah, but again, it's something that every team is dealing with, you know, and it's something that I still feel that we're going to be able to fix. The great thing about it right now, John, it looks like when you look at this starting rotation, when you still get this starting lineup offensively, it's like you go toe-to-toe with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That Dodgers matchup, right as of right now, doesn't look too daunting of a task when you look at the way that everybody's hitting right now. And that's the thing that, you know, you feel really, really good about. And this weekend, for the team, the guys as a whole, Josh Donaldson especially, that has to be a huge confidence builder as far as what you feel like you're able to do. And now you got the Mets coming into town, you know, and just beat up on them a little bit. Try to stretch your lead out as much as you possibly can. Because I can tell you, in Philadelphia today, it's definitely going the other way. It's definitely going the other way. There's probably – Gabe Kapler's probably feeling a little bit of pressure right now. Because, like I said, last year, it seemed like when they came to town, that's when it kind of – the wheels started to fall off the wagon for the Philadelphia Phillies. So now, you know, losing in the fashion that you lost yesterday with that big money lineup, oh, they're starting to feel the heat a little bit.
Good. I mean, that's a good thing.
We want them to feel the heat a little bit.
If the Phillies have a problem internally, and this will be interesting to see, because remember, one of the things that was talked about last year with the Washington Nationals was that they had all those internal problems on their team last year, and a lot of that was traced, at least by rumor, to Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And now if that happens again in the locker room, because at some point, you know, you invested how much money? $330 million?
A Gripperton. A lot of bread.
You know, and this guy's going to have to, I mean, because you know those Phillies fans, they won't.
That's what I'm saying. I know it's kind of hot. It's kind of hot in Philly right now. It's kind of hot. No question about that.
The Braves, good news on Sean Newcomb is sore and bruised. He's not at the moment on the IL. And so we really dodged a bullet in a lot of ways with Sean Newcomb. We'll wait on Dallas Keuchel to see when they elevate him. And I don't think it'll be for this series against the Mets, but it might be by this weekend when they go on the road, because the Braves have a 10-game road trip coming up. So you may see him start later in the week, possibly in Washington against the Nationals. The Phillies, by the way, open a series against the Nats today in D.C., and then the Braves will follow them up.
We pulling for the Nats today?
I guess. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't. You know, at this point, probably, yeah, I guess. I think if you just put your foot down on the gas, this lineup you mentioned yesterday, 19 hits. Two hits by Tyler Flowers, including that home run. And you have two hits by Austin Riley, two by Nick Markakis, two by Freddie Freeman, three by Josh Donaldson, including that home run, three by Ozzie Albies, and four, including that home run by Ronald Acuna. So, I mean, this team is just really raking right now. And how about Donaldson? Home run, home run, home run in three consecutive games.
Yeah, man, that's what you're talking about with Josh Donaldson. Who he entered this weekend with a 236, hitting 236, and he left it with 252. And
I mean, that's a bad weekend.
Yeah, not a bad weekend at all, man. And you're talking about a guy who a lot of people felt like for the money that he would that was too much money to give a guy for 1 year. Starting to like it's starting to pan out a little bit for him. I mean, the way that he's been hitting. The attitude that he's brought to this team, you know, it was funny because I know when he came in, he wanted to bat second, and everybody kind of like, you know, was like, you know, does he have that kind of pull where he can ask where he wanted to be batted? And then as it started to shake out, you're moving around a little bit. Now he looks like he's real comfortable, John, and he's been money. He was money for you this weekend, and I like the attitude and the way that he approaches the game. He's one of those guys that he don't take no mess off of anybody. And then you talk about Freddie and how consistent he's been throughout this whole thing, man. You got a good team. You got a good team that's coming alive at the right time. We just need to figure out that whole pitching thing.
Yeah, well,
we need to get that taken care of.
You're right. The lineup is as good as I've ever seen in a Braves uniform.
More bang for your buck. That's what comes to mind for me when I think about this Braves team and what they've done. And I still think that there is a chance. There's going to be an opportunity to add some quality pitching that's going to put you right where you want to be when it's all said and done.
Well, you need to make a move of some kind, I think, to shore up. You may need another starter, but you certainly need to shore up this bullpen in some form or fashion. You know, I'm anxious here, Hugh. Obviously, I want them to make the right move. I don't want them to make a move that doesn't work and have to make another move. I mean, you want to make sure you make the right move, and the right move may not be out there right now. I mean, forget about the fact that they missed out on Kimbrel, okay?
Yeah.
You have to set that aside. We're talking about
for your buck.
Right now, you know? I mean, what do you want right now?
That's how I look at it, John. More bang for your buck. More bang for your buck.
You know, and, this young kid, Oscar Inoa, who comes up and throws two innings yesterday, and everybody goes, oh, my gosh. He's 21 years old. He got a live arm, that's for sure. He went from single A to double A to triple A to the majors in 3 months this year.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Two innings, one hit. Give him a chance. And that's what we are. If we can find it internally, that's great. That's great. Compare it again to like you compare goalies in hockey. You got to find one that at the right time gives you exactly what you need. I mean, and that's how it is. You've seen it all the time in Major League Hockey that they always – like they go to the hot-handed goalie, and until he's not hot anymore, then they switch him out. That's probably the situation you're going to have to be in until you find that lockdown guy at the closer spot.
I would imagine, you know, much as it says to be, this will say the state of the Braves. You cannot try it. You know, no matter what happens against the Mets tonight, you cannot trot out Luke Jackson in a safe situation.
Why not? Give him a chance.
No,
you got to listen.
No,
you got to put him back on the horse.
No.
You have to.
Nope.
You have to.
No.
you have to.
No.
This was like just like the other day when he worked his way out of that situation, that sticky situation that he was in.
Once this year he did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give him another chance to try.
No.
You have to.
No.
I know it's not a popular opinion, but you have to.
No, I put AJ Minter there. I mean, you know.
Wow.
I mean.
How quickly that changes.
Well, I'm just saying anything, you know. That's why I was anger tweeting on Saturday night. I was like, put anybody else out there. I was like, put out H.R. Puffin stuff. Put out Donkey.
I know this might be
put out the guy that
might,
cut off.
I know this might be tough
off
you
on
to
the
do.
Connector. I don't care. Put my
this
wife
might
out
be
there.
Tough you to do, but at least I would say before you get all up in your feelings, wait till the series is over. Before I know it's a day to day thing for you. I mean, and you live and die with the Braves like that. I get all of that, but maybe you'll save yourself some angst and some tums if you just give it to the end of the series before you start getting in your feelings.
But this is the closer role they haven't fixed.
Yes, they have it. And we went into it, and we stated that the night after they won, Friday night. We stated the fact that, hey, great win. Still need to figure out that closer situation. That's what we said. And then it came up to bite you in the butt Saturday. But then you come back Sunday, and you take care of your business. But at, like, and I know that there's not, it's not going to always be like that. It's not going to always be a 15-run game that you're always going to win like that. Some of them are going to be a little bit tighter than that, and you're going to have to depend on your closer. But you still have to roll him out there to just get – he got to get those reps, man. He got to get those reps.
I love your patience because after
the best job training is on the drop training.
Well, he blew Friday night. He blew Saturday night, back-to-back. And I'm just done with him. I'm not trotting him out there anymore. I mean, I think if you want to put him in, you know, he could have pitched yesterday when it was 13-1. Okay, fine. You know, I mean, that would have been fine. He's just he's a bullpen arm, but I'm not putting him out in any pressure situation because he can't handle it.
That's what it feels like, but you still have to – you got to grow. You got to grow into that spot. I still believe that. Until – you're going to have to work with him, John, until you find somebody else. That's the situation that the Braves are in right now. Until you find that guy. And when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, when Luke Jackson looks around and say, I am – like he was a victim – of his own demise, because you've been given more than one opportunity to get it done, and you didn't get it done. You like how I did that, though, Abe, the producer, huh? Victim of his own demise. You like that? You're over there smiling.
Atlanta United plays tomorrow in a game you won't hear on 92.9 The Game. Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United, joined you and I on our Saturday show and talked about the state of the team. We have that interview we'll play for you next on the morning show on this Monday. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Monday. Hope you're having a safe drive into work. As we get rolling this week, picking around the corner, of course, the big news is going to be the Braves and the NBA draft coming up on Thursday night. You should know about the party we're having at State Farm Arena on Thursday night that you can be part of if you go to our website, 929thegame.com/events, to get tickets for the draft party on Thursday night. Starting at 7 o'clock, we'll have a live broadcast from there as well. But there is a matter of the U.S. Open Cup, which Atlanta United is playing in. They're going to be back on the road. I guess we're on the road, I guess, for the first game, right? Sort of, kind of. Back on the road when they play at Columbus tomorrow night. No, the game will not be on 929 The Game. We are not allowed. We have asked, but they won't let us. ESPN owns the rights, and they won't let us do it. So I'm just letting you know. Meantime, Hugh and I had a chance to catch up with Carlos Bocanegra over the weekend on our Saturday show. Talk about the team. Talk about what happened in that first weird situation against Charleston where they had to move the game to a game without any fans. And that's where the interview begins with Hugh talking to Carlos and asking the technical director of the Five Stripes how much of an inconvenience it was to have what happened at Charleston happen.
It was a big inconvenience. I mean, there's no way around that. You know, the guys had to make the trip out there, 5 hours on the bus and, you know, go get all set up, get ready to play. And then it ends up the field was unplayable with, you know, the rain and just the conditions. So that was a little bit unfortunate. These are some of the things you run into when you play in the Open Cup because you play lower division teams. So, it's all part of it. Obviously it's frustrating and, you know, the guys, all right, there's some moans and groans a little bit, but, in the end they have to get on with it. And, the refs made the right decision not to play the game because, we've been through this a few times already this year. It just was going to be unsafe, pretty much unplayable. There's parts of the field where the ball just stopped in puddles and, that's not good for anybody. So we were able to help out, and Kennesaw was able to pull through for us, and so we could have it here, but unfortunately it's behind closed doors.
You're right, exactly, behind closed doors. Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United. Do you ever play in or see a game with no fans?
Yeah, it happens in Europe a lot or South America when fans get banned completely from the stadium. Put in a punishment where you just, you know, your home games, you can't play in front of any fans. So you lose that atmosphere and the home field advantage. Unfortunately, we were not punished. It was just for safety concerns and organizing tickets and parking and all that stuff on such short notice, we just couldn't turn it around to make sure it was a safe environment overall and be organized properly. So we just had to play it behind closed doors. But, they were telling us that if we did not play the game, potentially it comes down to a coin flip on who advances. So, you know, we'd much rather play the game than just have a coin flip.
Wait a minute, hold up, Carlos. You mean that, like, there's been games where like, whole fan bases have been banned from going to the game?
Oh, yeah.
That's bananas.
It's not common, but it's common over there, because just if they're throwing flares or, you know, they're causing trouble with the fans fighting each other or numerous reasons. So, that happens. So the guys were aware of it, but it definitely takes away from the atmosphere. And, you know, you saw we had a bit of a slow start the other night, and, you know, fortunately we were able to get through.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra about all things soccer here, Atlanta United advancing along in the U.S. Open Cup to play Columbus next Tuesday night in this, and that game will be in Ohio. And so we'll certainly keep tabs on it. Carlos, a couple other big things happening in soccer. I'd like to get your reaction to what took place with the U.S. Women's National Team. So much said about their 13-0 win. They play tomorrow against Chile in the second round, and they're heavily favored to potentially have another rout here. What was your reaction to the 13 goals, and what was your reaction to the reaction to all of that in the celebrations?
Yeah, again, look, for me, soccer is being talked about in this country, which is cool that, you know, it's relevant. It's on, you know, on the tip of people's tongues. People are interested in it. People debate it. You see the morning shows on ESPN or Fox or whatnot where, you know, you've got these guys debating heavily all these topics. So I think that was good. And then in the, you know, as far as them scoring goals, look, they played a weaker opponent, and in a World Cup or a group stage competition in a tournament format, sometimes it comes down to goal differential on how you advance. So I think in that aspect, you just have to keep scoring because you've got to assume other teams are going to score on them as well.
And don't you think a part of that, the reaction from some of the fans in America was partly because they really did not understand how the aggregate works in soccer, and we're still kind of, you know, trying to catch up and learn about soccer?
I don't know. I don't know if it was more on the celebration aspect of it, I think, was more of the debate.
Right. So, and you, how do you fall on that part of it, on the celebration thing?
I think, it's hard. I'm not in their camp. I heard a lot of the things were inside jokes. Some people take it differently. America already has a target on its back in world politics and just in general. That carries over into our sports teams, whether it's the Olympics or the World Cup. So, you also have to be aware of that. I don't mind them celebrating. I think maybe sometimes when they did the group celebrations after 8 or 9 goals, maybe that could have been scaled back. But, look, again, I'm not on the inside of their camp. I don't know what was happening over there, what they had talked about before the game. So it's always hard to judge when you don't know what's going on the inside.
This time down for the players that are getting training and whatnot, you went into this break with, getting hot and having Joseph get back-to-back braces and restaking a run at first place in the East. Is this a double-edged sword for you, the break? I mean, you get rest, you get a chance to train, but at the same time, do you wonder if you're losing that edge that you had, or how do you maintain that edge, probably better put?
Yeah, so it's a tough one. We were in a pretty good rhythm, taking 6 out of 8 games, climbing up the table. Obviously, we're on a streak, but you know, we did need a break. That was a lot of miles on the legs and a lot of, you know, mentally draining for the guys as well. So I think that was nice to refresh. We got a big wake-up call against Charleston midweek. So hopefully that kind of gets us back on the right track. But, you want to stay hot and you want to stay streaking, but we were fortunate to come out of it with, you know, minimal injuries on a stretch of games like that in such close succession. So we've got to pick back up where we left off. But for me, it's more important to have a little bit of a break, almost that the guys can refresh and reboot and, you know, mentally just get back into it for the rest of the season and push on.
Oh, that would help.
I was about to say, John, are you on the air? You were just doing
I know. I have to turn my mic on. It's Monday. I mean, we make mistakes. That's the first error of the week. I was wondering, why can't I hear myself? Well, it happens. So Carlos Bocanegra talking about this. Again, we're not going to have the game tomorrow. It's going to be, I think, streamed or something.
Internet. It's on the internet.
You know, I was never huge on this whole tournament to begin with. Then you have the thing happen down in Charleston, the debacle of that. And then you play in front of no fans, and I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to get back to MLS play.
I didn't know that was like a thing. Like, to not play in front of fans is like a thing. That's like a thing that's happened more than once.
Yeah, after he said that, I kind of looked it up. Apparently, there is a thing down in South America. If your fans are so over the top, they will penalize you and force you to play a game without fans. Yeah, think about the money you lose when you do that. Whew, wow. Busy Monday, as you would expect. As we get to the top of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about what the Hawks are looking at and some of the rumors that are flying now after the huge Pelican-Laker trade and how it involves the Atlanta Hawks. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.